Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good
Tuesday.
That's right. I was thinking Wednesday because
no.
Juneteenth. Because we're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah, we're off.
We're off. Midweek day off. Got to celebrate gay pride.
No, not quite.
Oh.
No.
Got to celebrate the emancipation of slavery.
I would say that, that's kind of a big deal. It's a little weird because
hell yeah,
when you get a new holiday, like people are kind of poking fun at it and like, oh, you know, do we have the day off and did we have it last year? And it's kind of become a punchline. But of all the stuff that we do take the day off for, no offense to presidents and obviously, you know, the Veterans Day. And
Labor Day.
Christopher
day
Columbus
are,
at times.
Are great. But yeah, Columbus Day and what was the, like you said, Labor Day. I would say that the end of slavery.
That's right.
Not quite possibly the darkest period in our country's history.
That's
kind
right.
of a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's a little ridiculous that it's become like a punchline.
We're going to celebrate it. Why is it a punchline?
Yeah, because people are mocking it. It's like,
why?
Oh, another,
who are people?
Another day off. A lot of people. And I'm like,
I haven't heard that one time,
oh,
Jason.
Oh, God.
In my life.
You're so full of crap. They were.
Not one time.
You're so full of it.
I really haven't.
People are like, they're talking about it on the radio today.
I just think there are probably a lot of rubes who don't know what it is.
Exactly. And so it's like a lot of like, hey, we got the day off today. Hey, great. What's it for again?
Well, yeah, Isaac is so woke that it is normalized for him. So.
You even made a joke about it at the beginning.
What? Gay pride? It's not gay. What?
God.
Look, man. That's, I haven't heard that.
Even though you literally did it to start the show.
I'm gay.
I was just joking, though.
That's kind of my point.
I know what Juneteenth is.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to celebrate it.
Yeah. By going to Vampire Weekend.
In the widest way possible.
Yes.
Going to Bend, Oregon to a Vampire Weekend show.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
and I will return on Thursday with a headcount of African Americans.
Yeah, and I did believe we...
Is it only at the show or is it the whole day?
At the show.
Okay, only at the show.
We
okay.
set the over-under 4.5.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the under.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll report back.
Yes. So, just... I feel very confident in my 4.5. Because we did this at the Creed show up in A&A. And we also said it, I think we said it there at 3.5, and you know what? The under hit. By the way, security guards don't count. Patrons.
Now, are we being racist by even doing this?
No. I
Should
think
we
we're,
back
we're,
off of this?
We're just acknowledging the whiteness of a Vampire Weekend show, just like we were acknowledging the whiteness of a Creed show at A&A.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I buried the lead. It's Ryan Buckley,
Yay!
Everybody. How about that?
He's Hi. Back.
I told him to stay the hell away from me.
Yeah.
I'm not. Which is worse?
Away from Buck.
Your scrot or the rash all over your body?
I don't have a rash all over my body. I did not get hand, foot, and mouth disease. That only belongs to my 7-month-old.
That you tell us right now. How long, by the way, has the foot and mouth and whatever disease been around your house?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, it cropped up on Saturday, or symptoms of it.
So you could be incubating right
but
now.
I was out on Friday, and I don't think that you guys would have been exposed to it in any way, shape, or form.
I swear to God.
Well, what if we're being exposed right now?
Yeah. I don't
Through
think you
the
are.
Glass.
We saw a physician yesterday,
yes,
family physician.
A doctor.
They told us we needn't worry, that my wife and I have dodged it, and because
how do you know you've dodged
because
it?
He is past the contagious stage and has been since Saturday night, and we don't have any symptoms yet.
When do the symptoms kick in?
I don't know.
I don't trust
Duke's
this at
a doctor.
All.
Yeah, clearly.
I find this very convenient. That convenient? Some sort of highly...
You think I'd want to come to work for one day before we have a day off?
Totally. That's a good point.
I don't trust this at all.
I could have milked this into a 6-day weekend between the snip on Friday and this thing, but I didn't because I'm okay.
I don't know. Telling you right now, if there's a rash that breaks out, you're getting hurt.
I wouldn't blame you for that.
I'll meet you in the parking lot.
It's called hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Correct.
And it sounds terrible, and kids get it, and people get it.
It's almost like a milder, more modern version of chicken pox, in that it's very contagious. It affects children more than it does adults. It's contracted by children more than it is adults, but when an adult gets it, it tends to be worse than it is for kids. Mm-hmm.
And your stupid kid got it?
Yeah, my kid got it from daycare.
God, daycare.
Daycare, man.
So gross.
Yeah. Cesspools. I was saying when the only experience I've had with this is a girl dumped me in college because she got the disease.
Oh.
And I was like, ew, go away.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't you dumping her.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my thing. I was like, you need to go over there. And then she was very angry at my response.
You weren't compassionate enough?
Oh, no, I wasn't compassionate at all. I was like, dude, get the hell away from me and ick, and please don't touch me. And then she was all offended, and that was the end of it. That's my only experience. But seeing the rash, boy, it is, it's alarming. And it's like if it's your little kid, but if it's someone that you're doing stuff with, and you just see that rash pop up, you're like, oh, God.
It kind of looks like little baby acne or little like baby chicken pox, like all around the mouth. So if you were dating someone with that, you wouldn't want that.
Was the little dude crying incessantly?
Yeah, he was just real fussy and drooling like a machine. I mean, he was just soaking through bibs. It was ridiculous.
Mm. It's rough on the little
man. And you can't, and you've got... You know,
you got scrotal issues, so you're not. You're down now. That left Mrs.
Mom,
Buckley.
I bet Mom had a weekend.
She had a weekend, I believe.
No, no, no. Get on your knees. It's wonderful.
God, that's really sexist.
Wow. We were being racist, but apparently sexist.
Yeah, somebody on the text line cleared us of racism.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so we live to see another day.
We don't know if that's white or not, but
America, yeah.
Are you going to owe favors now because the scrotal thing? And
probably.
The
it's weird, though, because, I mean, I was thinking I really shouldn't have to feel a whole lot of guilt for having, you know, my beanbag cut into. But here I am not being able to help while there's, you know.
Suddenly you're guilted.
Well, it's not so much that I was guilted, but it was like, I don't know. I was initially.
Well, you feel bad, probably.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I wish that I could do something more, but it was a banner weekend in the Buckley house. The older one took a header over the handlebars, too. So that it was a whole thing.
Wow. So the rash is gone?
The rash has, the fever is much gone? Like chicken pox, like it started to scab over. They're not like fresh or active. Excuse me. And no more fever. Hasn't had a fever since Saturday.
Your penile reduction surgery went well.
It went okay.
You're more manageable.
I think that it's all still there. So they just rearranged some parts.
How was that? How did that go?
It was pretty fine. I mean,
that's what most people say.
Honestly, the local anesthetic was probably the most painful part.
Right.
Because they hit the nerve that gives you that same sensation when you get kicked in the beanbag. Yeah. And that's not great.
Yeah.
But it's not as severe as that.
How big is the needle?
I didn't even look at it.
Good.
So and needles have never really bothered me in that way, but you're laying back on this on, you know, just like a doctor's table, so it's not like but it's weird. They bring a little spotlight for your area.
Yeah.
So you're like, look at this star now.
Did you smell the burning pork when they were cauterizing?
I couldn't smell it, but I also knew that people said you could, so I kind of tried not to tried to breathe through my mouth, I guess.
That was
don't want to smell my own flesh.
That was the weirdest part for me is you just smell something burning. And
what's
you're
that
like,
cooking?
What's that? Oh, wait, that's me.
Weenie roast.
That's my junk. Well, I'm glad to see. Remember, you're not out of the clear yet, Buck. It just gives you all the more reason to party. You got to get through like 60 times.
I was told only 25 times.
25?
Yeah.
Say, now just tell your wife it's 60.
And in about 3 months, I'm supposed to give a sample, and we'll test that sample to make sure that I am sterile.
Yeah. I did that actually a couple years later just to make sure.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
I didn't trust the...
No, they've said that if it's not cauterized right, it can grow back. Like, the whole life finds a way thing.
Yep. Not in my way. I got the special Evel Knievel Grand Canyon nothing jumping that sucker. We're done. Done with that.
Life does find a way, and you two should be ashamed of yourselves.
You know, if I have a kid, that kid better be Jesus or someone's got some explaining to do.
Well, I'm glad you're better, Jace. Or, I mean, what's your name?
Buck.
Brian?
I'm Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Thanks.
Glad you're better.
Thanks.
Glad your kid's better. Glad you're back, because Ortner's annoying and Schultz's mad about the world. And so it's just really rough around here when you're not around.
Oh, yeah. How did the Schultz-y hot takes talk go on Friday?
Yeah, good. You know, he gave some more of his grievances. Yeah,
we learned what power is that little faux hawk of his. And it's just an angry little hamster little running around that that head. That Home Depot head of his just cruising. it's a hell of a thing being Schultz-y. Hell of a thing.
Well, the NBA is over.
Yeah, we got...
Until next week, we got
the draft, man.
Did you guys know where we're going for the draft?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard that?
I love me some 10 Barrel.
10 Barrel Brewing next Wednesday. A week from tomorrow.
It's supposed to be in the 80s. I'm assuming we'll be up on the rooftop deck.
Why would you assume that?
Because it's 80 degrees outside. Why wouldn't they put us up top?
Well, all I'd have to tell you there is, remember when we went to the Pac-12 to the Rose Bowl one time and put us by the porta-potties on a nice 75-degree day?
10 Barrels, you know, 10 Barrels better than that.
Never take anything for granted. No. Well, it's not 10 Barrel. It's our people.
Well, I'm hoping for rooftop deck. And also, let me just say this for the record.
Odyssey station.
The nachos at 10 Barrel, some of the finest nachos you'll ever have. The Gorgonzola, like brisket nachos, as fine. Find me a better nacho. It'll go toe-to-toe with any nacho that you're going to have. Delightful.
We'll have to try it.
Yeah. And, of course, many fine beers.
That'll be Wednesday. Yeah. You should come join us. So the Blazers pick 7th.
And 14th.
14th.
And no one.
34th.
And I mean no one knows.
And 40th. What do you mean no one knows?
No one knows.
No one knows what?
No one knows anything. This draft is absolute chaos.
Why?
Because there's
what does that mean?
There's no consensus on anything. Oh. You can listen to 20 different draft experts that are all dialed in. And normally you start to kind of get it condensed. And it's like, hey, this is the consensus. The consensus is there is no consensus. I mean, people are saying left and right that they talk to like inside sources close to teams. And even sources on that same team, around that same team, have different views of which way this is going to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. This may be a year where normally the number one and even number two and three picks are pretty much just outlined. I don't even think that's the case this year, let alone Portland sitting there at 7. Portland could be, you got to prepare for like 8 different possibilities sitting there at 7, because there could be someone that falls to you or everyone's off the board. Do you take 14? Do you move up?
Well, it sounds to me like
people want out of this draft.
This could be, since nobody knows anything and it's wild and topsy-turvy, sounds like Bronny James to Portland? what I'm hearing?
I will say at the end of the draft, pick number 55 is going to be interesting.
The Lakers?
Well,
is that the Lakers?
Yeah, that's the Lakers at 55. Because it appears that no one else wants him. And LeBron James certainly does.
I thought the Suns wanted him.
No one wants this kid. The only reason someone would draft him is two things. One, spite. And the other one being...
Spite why? To keep him away from his daddy?
Yeah, just like an FU sort of thing. Because, look, LeBron James and his bratty kid, I've never seen anything like it. The guy isn't even a really draftable player, and they're turning down workouts and saying that we're not going on a two-way contract. I mean, it's unbelievable. The balls, the unmitigated gall that the James family has for this, it's quite impressive. So you got three options. One, spite, which I find hilarious, and then moving him to a two-way contract and saying, screw you. The other one being, obviously, the Lakers at 55 take him to try to appease LeBron, and then you got to tell your coach, sorry, this kid's at the end of the bench, figure something out. Or for a team like Phoenix, LeBron James is going to opt out probably and be a free agent. If you're Phoenix, you know, can you sell LeBron on the fact of, hey, we're a good team. We've got Durant. We've got Beal. We've got Booker. You're 40 years old. You come here. You don't have to carry the load. We're not asking you to play, 38 minutes a night. But you and your son can play together. Phoenix, great weather. And we think that we can actually win a title down here. Would you like to try to win a title with a fourth team? Would LeBron entertain that at all? Other than that, there is zero, and I mean zero, reason to draft this kid.
Well... So what you're saying is the Blazers should take him 14th or wait and try to get him at 30 or 34. Sorry.
Yeah, 34.
Or 40. Do you push your... I mean...
I think you're fine at 40. No one wants this kid. Nobody.
Well, anyway, next Wednesday we'll be at 10 Barrel Brewing. Make sure you bring your basketball pants.
There you go.
And maybe your beer pants.
Some tearaways. Well, actually, the tearaways are good too because you can undo the top. Like if you get a little full from the nachos and the beer.
Yeah.
You know, you'd never go to like a cookout wearing tight pants. That's, you got to have some elastic in those.
Haven't thought of that rule of thumb, but that makes sense.
The other I hadn't thought about that either.
Other nice thing about the tearaway is if it's a little too warm outside, open up the bottom around the calves, get a little vent, a little breeze in there. Yeah.
You've never thought about like if I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner or I'm going to like Fogo de Chao, I'm going to a buffet.
I mean, I don't wear tight pants anyways, but I haven't really thought of it before.
Well, I ain't wearing slacks. Yeah. No. We got, well, maybe put on some pants with some stretch in them. You got to prepare. You got to know what you're dealing with there. You don't go to an NBA draft party for a night of eating and drinking and celebrating and then wear tight-fitting jeans. Come on.
All right, well, we're ready to roll. We've got an NBA champ. They are the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Kind of a lame playoffs.
Yeah.
Kind of a boring champ.
Yeah, all that. Oh, Dallas is going to make it a series. And no.
But we have audio. And we're going to wrap that up. And then... I've got a little college football grundle thumper today.
Ooh, I like a grundle.
Whoa.
For you guys.
Okay. Boy, mine's probably a little tender still, so
yeah,
easy.
That's in honor of Buck.
That's a great name for a fantasy team, the Grundle Thumpers.
Dude,
I would not want to tangle with the Grundle Thumpers come playoff time.
It seems like a good insult, too, you Grundle Thumper.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and keep that one in the back pocket. I've been using S Bird a lot, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. I got it from that's a Tropic Thunder. That's a McConaughey.
It's a classic.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Listen here, S Bird, but I kind of like, listen up, Grundle Thumper. Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's solid, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have
you seen Timberlake's mugshot, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wait, what'd he do?
Molly poppers,
DUI,
an HIV drug, and coke.
DWI.
Nice.
And booze. Yeah, he's got that's an impressive.
Nice little bingo card.
It's an impressive run of things.
The Hamptons. You know what he's doing? He's living his best life.
Yeah, minus the Truvada or whatever. That's a little.
You can't get behind the wheel.
No.
The wheel.
No. Molly poppers, booze, and coke. JT, buddy. Getting after it.
All right, we'll start with the NBA playoffs and put a bow on that. That's the subject of our poll question today, or at least partially. And we'll get to that next. On The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it's us, Isaac and Souk. Welcome into our show. It's time to get to our poll question. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Yesterday, the question was, will Rory McIlroy ever win another major? 61% of you said yes.
A lot of faith.
Yep. A lot of people do have faith.
Yeah. We've been close, man. That's as close as it gets last time.
McIlroy releasing a statement. I'll corkscrew that in here if you'd like.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said, the first thing he did was...
congratulate Bryson.
Well, no, the first thing he did was he made a faux pas.
Oh, he faux pas'd?
He said, he wrote, firstly.
Oof.
That's a big one.
Dude, come on.
That's a big one.
Who's proofreading this?
Yeah, I mean,
fire
somebody,
that PR.
Somebody's got to be. I mean, come on, man. That's a grade school mistake.
That's
damn
basic.
It, Rory. So he said...
Firstly.
Where the hell is it? Oh, I'd like to congratulate Bryson. He's a worthy champion and exactly what professional golf needs right now. I think we can all agree on that. Yesterday was a tough day, probably the toughest I've had in my nearly 17 years as a professional golfer. Ouch. He's admitting that was tougher than that Open that Cam Smith took from him.
Yeah.
And that was, God, was that last year? Or was that 2 years?
Last year was it 2 years ago. I thought that was 2 years ago. And don't forget, remember, he had the Masters, or he had the meltdown at the Masters where he basically cried. I mean,
that was when he was a kid.
That was when he was young.
Yeah, but he came back from that.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, he's no crying in golf. But
I think that was last year.
Was the Cam Smith
Who won the Open last year? If it wasn't Cam Smith,
let's look at the British Open. Chopin.
Golly, I'm just getting old. Yesterday was a tough day, probably the toughest I've had in my 17 years as a pro golfer. As I reflect on my week, I'll rue a few things over the course of the tournament, mostly the two missed putts on holes 16 and 18 on the final day. But as I always...
He'll rue them?
He will rue them.
Nobody
yes.
talks.
By the way,
like
Harmon won last year. Cam Smith was.
Yeah,
two years
that's
ago.
Right. Yeah, I knew we.
Use the waggle.
You went set.
But as I always try to do, I'll look at the positives of the week that far outweigh the negatives. Ultimately, while it was a bruising loss, oh wait, as I said at the start of the tournament, I feel closer to winning my next major championship than I ever have. The one word that I would describe my career as is resilient. I've shown my resilience over and over in the last 17 years, and I will again. And he is right about that. You know, like I said, the way he lost the back nine at the Masters when he was just a pup.
Yeah.
That could have scarred him for life,
absolutely.
But he's certainly put that in the rearview mirror. He says, I'm going to take a few weeks away from the game to process everything and build myself back up for my defense of the Genesis Scottish Open and the Open at Royal Troon. See you in Scotland. So he's just going to bow out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That had to hurt. There's no
yes.
question. That,
well, you think about him sitting there because it's been how many years? Over a decade?
10 years.
10 years, right? And like that's a huge drought, and you're like, God, he's so talented. But then you realize in the history of golf, the history, only 15 players have won more major championships
yeah.
than Rory.
Right.
Like that's why I always fight the major championship thing is weird to me. Because like you win one, and I'm trying to think of like who was a one-off, but was still a good golfer, not like a complete fluke.
Are you talking just any major?
Yeah, who was the...
Well, Stuart Sink won one.
There you go. Stuart Sink, right?
Good player.
Well, I bet like Zach Johnson, who was younger, right?
Yeah.
And so you're like, that's what I'm... Because Stuart Sink was a little bit older, right? But Zach Johnson wins one when he's pretty young, right? And you're like, oh man, maybe this is the start of something. And it wasn't. Like, he was a good golfer, and he was around for a while, but it was just kind of a one-off.
He won two, though.
Did he win two?
Yeah, he won the Open as well.
Okay, well, that's even... So this kind of even furthers my point, right? You win two, and you're like, oh, man. Like...
Here he comes,
right? And then... You know, and then it's just kind of, it's gone.
Yeah.
So when a guy like Rory wins four and you're like, oh, here. And then like, it's like this expectation when you win one or even two and then you kind of go away, we don't think much about it. We're like, yeah, you know, whatever. Like you got your one or two, it was a great run. He's a solid golfer, but you win three, you win four, you win five. Now we expect you to win 15. And you start looking at the guys that have won,
well, he's,
you know, five, yeah. six, seven of these things. It is
I know.
The definition of rarefied air.
It is, but he is a generational talent.
Well,
he's not Zach Johnson. So he, but, you know, he's, I mean, dude, it's so arbitrary. He's five putts from having seven majors.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating that. And remember how many times Phil missed.
Oh, yeah. And he,
at the majors before winning a bunch.
Yeah. And Phil's had some. Colossal meltdowns himself.
It's kind of a weird deal. Maybe Rory will be like the Patriots. You know, he wins a bunch.
Takes
the 10 years and then wins a bunch. I mean, he's certainly good enough.
So he's got four. If I give you, how old is he?
35.
So he's got, let's go, seven more years of,
okay,
you know, because he takes care of himself, right?
Seems to.
Yeah. So we'll give you 5 to 7 more years.
Except for his womanizing ways, according to Schultz.
According to Schultz. So even if we say seven, he's got 28 more cracks at this thing.
28. Mm-hmm.
I give you the over-under. He's got to get over-under 2.5.
2.5, I'll probably go under.
Under?
But
one
if you
half.
Gave me 1.5, I'd go
you
over.
You think he gets two?
Maybe a couple.
Yeah.
And he should be able to get one for 28 and get at least one more, right?
I think he'll get one more, yeah, at least.
Isn't it crazy to think that we, again, this goes back to we're assuming, and yet it has been a long, long time.
11 years?
And he's not better. He's not better than he was. You know, now you're fighting off father time, too. But, you know, like Phil won one when he was old, and, you know, it happens. You know, Jack had one when he's old. Tiger had one when he was old and broken. So you would assume if Roy's that level of talent, he gets another one, but... I'm saying four is a hell of an accomplishment.
I think a couple of things that hurt him. Well, one thing definitely that hurt him was the whole LIV thing and then PGA Tour basically propping him up as their golden boy and him kind of taking that mantle. He even admitted that really hurt his game.
Yeah, he regrets it.
So that cost him a couple years right there.
Yeah.
And now he's just bounced back from that. I don't know. He's playing awful good golf, man.
I like Rory. I'd like to see it. You know,
I think he gets another.
Golf is a bitch mistress, man.
Oh, it's so tough. it's unmasterable. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I want to see him win the Masters. At any rate, let's get to today's poll. That was yesterday's poll.
Let's get
61% of people think that Rory will win another major. Today, we're asking you which coach under the age of 40 is the best. We've got four options for you because that's all they give us on there.
All right.
D'Amico Ryans, he is 39. Mm-hmm. Joe Mazzulla, NBA champion, he is 35.
You think Ime Udoka's just sitting around being like, gosh, how good was that?
I thought about that last night for the first time. What a bag fumble. Like, the fact that you had all this talent stacked up with the best team in the league and you couldn't keep it together because you were horny.
Yeah,
man.
That's
the Mel Tucker playbook.
Yes, it is. Tucker didn't have it going the way Ime Udoka had it going.
Which is the worst bag fumble?
Mel, because it was $80 million.
Yeah, he lost more money.
How much did Ime lose?
Not $80 million.
But I bet he lost a championship.
Yeah, he lost the championship, and now he's back in. He's with the Rockets.
Houston. Somebody's assistant, right?
No, he's the head coach of Houston.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mel's doing, but he's sitting around trying to think about how to sue to win his $80 million back. But boy, over like some married front office strange Ime, my man, and he had a smoking hot actress wife. Who made a bunch of money.
I don't think they were married.
Well, but they were together for years and years and years. It's one of the great fumbles. I mean, it's Ernest Biner level fumble. That's what we're dealing with here.
So we've got Mazzulla. He's only 35. Playing hurt, too, by the way. He had a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Over there, just coaching his little balls off.
Coaching it. He's not complaining. He's not pulling a Luka and dragging that leg around the court.
Well, he's not like the Minnesota coach and has to sit behind the bench.
Can't, yes.
We also have, Sean McVay.
Oh.
He's only 38.
Well, there's your answer.
And Dan Lanning.
Oh!
38. There you go.
I'm taking that little dude in L.A.
Four pretty good coaches there.
Football's football, and the only way to get better at it is to play football.
Sean McVay's really good. He is.
I think they're all good.
Yeah, but, dude, McVay is more responsible for what they're doing in L.A., took a team to the brink of a Super Bowl, realized that he didn't have his running back anymore, had to completely pivot and change his offense completely, paid his quarterback who got him to the brink of a Super Bowl and realized under the system he was needing to play now to win, he couldn't do it with this quarterback, ate the biggest contract in NFL history to go get Matthew Stafford, who people thought was injury prone and over the hill, came in, won a damn Super Bowl, had the thing torn under him from again, had to completely rip his team apart, was supposed to be the worst team in the league, one of them, with the youngest roster, and look at what they did. I mean, Sean McVay, if the Celtics are the balls, then Sean McVay is the grundle, because that dude is amazing.
Celtics are the balls!
He is more responsible than any of those. No offense to Mazzulla. I'm not saying anyone could have won a title with Boston. I'm not pulling the Isaac Rop goes and jumps in and then there's not an effect there. I think a lot of people could have coached this Boston team, especially the path that they had to the playoffs, or through the playoffs, I should say.
Yeah, we're still not giving him credit,
well,
are we?
I give him credit. I'm just not ready to say that Joe Mazzulla is Phil Jackson.
That's fair.
It's the easiest.
It's a pretty good job.
They were great. He did a great job, but this is the easiest path to an NBA championship that we've seen.
It is. All right, so there's the poll. Vote. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. Please vote hard. It's all we ask. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. The Celtics are the balls. They win the title. And Jason Tatum is corny.
Yes.
So we'll get to that with audio next. Here's Buck.
Hey, I looked up. I found the Mel Tucker thing. You know, he's not anywhere, and he's fighting. He's owed $80 million by Michigan State, and he's going to sue over that. And he did win a court battle. Brenda Tracy's lawyers are arguing that the text messages between her and her friend that Tucker and messages between her and Tucker, you know, he says that proved that it was a consensual relationship. Tracy sued to have those locked. She said it would cause irreparable harm to her foundation, and a judge tossed it. So those text messages are going to come out. So this Mel Tucker thing is not over. Like, I know Brenda Tracy has a great name and a great reputation. Dude, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that disagree with some of that, and I'm going to be really interested to see what happens when Mel Tucker's lawsuit comes to fruition.
Russell!
Whoops.
It's the greatest in the world! We have done it!
Misfire. That was Blazers fan reaction from 77.
Super duper.
Didn't mean to.
Wonderful.
That.
This is marvelous.
Yeah, well, all right. I still think she did Michigan State a favor. Because Tucker wasn't.
Well, unfortunately, this sounds really bad. I think Michigan State fired him because they didn't want him as their head coach, not because of anything that happened.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But they were able to do it with cause.
We'll see. So. You don't walk away from $80 million without a fight. So.
All right. Boston wins.
Yeah, Boston. The Celtics are the balls.
Yeah.
And they really are.
Whatever. Yeah, they're great.
It's a dominant run.
Yeah.
There's no way to...
They were the best team in the regular season.
Yeah.
They proved that they were the best team overall. They cruised through the playoffs. They did not get many of the best teams.
No.
But that doesn't matter. A playoff run is a playoff run. They're awesome. I love the way they play. No ego. They share the ball. Well coached. Team first. They defend. That's the way basketball should be played. All of that said, they're boring, and so were the playoffs.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I can see that. And I think collectively...
Didn't love it.
Most of the media feel that way as well. It's weird because Boston and New York, LA, you know, Chicago, these major markets, even Golden State, right? Those are always big deals. And I think collectively, everyone just shrugged their shoulders and was like, eh, and they've moved on to free agency. I've seen as much national free agency stuff and the draft, which, by the way, the draft this year isn't that exciting nationally because there's not a lot of big prospects. I've never seen someone turn the page so quickly on a major market championship. You're acting as if, like, this is like the Charlotte Hornets winning an NBA title. It's weird.
There was a lot of coverage, I thought, this morning that I thought was overdone because it was Boston.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, you know, like ESPN, all these entities are back east. And so I felt like it was, they were crowning them as if, you know, they're making a lot out of the 18th title thing, which
sure.
I get. And it was a little, I thought it was actually a little much. And I thought to myself, they would never cover a West Coast. If the Blazers didn't have a true superstar like the Celtics and they won the title, they would not be covered the way Boston is being covered right now. I just think back east and the Celtics, it's a bigger market, bigger deal.
Well, it is 18. It's a
storied franchise.
It is breaking the record for most NBA championships.
Yeah,
ever.
So I mean, I view it a little differently. I don't think a lot of people turn the page. I think we're just bloviating about Boston, and rightly so. They're awesome. I just feel like one of the things that took away from the playoff run and just the championship is just the lack of superstars. I think it's why... It's why Dallas was always the focus, because they're the ones that have the controversial superstars. That's more interesting. There's more meat on that bone. There's more to sink your teeth into than Boston is like, they're just functional. They play well together. They're well built. Nobody bitch it. Like there's nothing to say. They were really good.
Nice. All right.
That's why I think in the playoffs, you mentioned the Warriors. You know, certainly the old, LeBron's championship. You need the superstars.
Yeah.
And that's not to take anything away from Boston, but I think it would just be more exciting for the sports world in general. It's more exciting when the superstars are there. It's like, it's no different than the U.S. Open with Rory and Bryson.
Yeah.
That's bigger and more talked about because it's those two and not Patrick Cantlay and Brian Harman.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, so it's, and that's why I think it takes a little bit away from Boston, but.
See, and I think it takes a lot away from Boston.
Like, it doesn't bother
I just
me.
Haven't seen. I mean, I guess I have read one or two things about, you know, is, you know, where does this team rank, you know, all time and
dynasty,
you know, dynasty and this and that. But
bro.
Largely, I didn't see it that way. Maybe we're just consuming different things. I didn't feel that there was a ton of buzz. I didn't feel like a lot of people were really into this. It just kind of landed with a thud. I know a lot of people that didn't even watch the fourth quarter. They were like, I was checking in and it was a blowout. And I tuned back in a little bit and saw the championship and moved on. It was almost like this, I don't know, it was a foregone conclusion. And it felt like it was a foregone conclusion for most of the year. And to me, it's the opposite. That if you have a team that won 64 games in a major market and ran roughshod, lost what, three games in the NBA playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, right? Three? I don't know, man. To me, I just think it would be treated differently. Or if Tatum or Brown or someone was really like a giant superstar. So again, it's just, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder. To me, I look at Boston and I say, I don't know why that team isn't, like, everyone always claims that they don't want selfish basketball and we don't want star-driven ball. And yet when you get a team like this, no one really embraces it. Like, I thought the Golden State Warriors before Durant were a really, really likable team.
The Spurs were pretty
boring. The Spurs were boring. People hated watching San Antonio. Yep. And Boston, and you look at the way it was constructed, right? With drafts and then, you know, shrewd moves and tough decisions and bringing in, you know, quality second and third tier guys. You know, when you look at the way that was assembled and being a very good team, but not getting over the hump, and then having Brad Stevens be able to tweak that and say, look, we're going to move out a defensive player of the year, arguably the most popular player in Boston. Giving Tatum and Brown that many years, when you, that is, that, and I know it's different, but that's like some CJ and Dame stuff where after 6-7 years of something failing, and, you know, a lot of times someone just says, no, we're breaking this thing up. And they never wavered there in Boston. So many talking heads were calling for Brown to be shipped out of town and that there was two Robins and no Batman. I hate to defend Boston, but I just think I have a lot of respect for him. And I don't think that people are giving them necessarily their just due. I think it's a lot of, well, you know, it's fine.
So we've got some audio of Jason Tatum.
He's corny as all get out.
Jason Tatum from last night, very performative. I compare him a little bit to LeBron James, you know, LeBron James.
Everything is done knowing that the camera's on you.
Well, I honestly, we'll play the audio. If you didn't hear Tatum, I love watching celebrations. Sports celebrations, whoever wins, I don't care what sport.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
A lot of confetti last night.
And I just...
They blew the confetti budget.
I like to see what guys, you know, say, how they're going to react. I mean, it's a very raw, emotional moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I seriously don't think some of these guys know how to feel when they win titles.
Yeah.
I really don't. And then what they do is they display behavior that they think we want to see or is acceptable when winning. Yeah. Or it's for social media, like Bryson.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not genuine. And that was Jason Tatum last night.
It seemed very
hokey. I was
hokey.
Really taken aback by how awkward that felt with him.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah. All of it.
Felt desperate to be compared to other legends.
Yeah, it
was
just
very weird.
So we'll get to some of that audio coming up next on The Fan. All right, Celtics win. Another title for Boston, which is insane. How many titles they have over the last 20 years?
It's been 6 long years since Boston celebrated a championship.
That's true. The last one was the Red Sox in 2018.
Felt so bad for that city. Although Boston, you know, this is their 19th, right? 19th? Yeah, NBA record, or was it 18?
18.
18. NBA record.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, how much they've been cramming that
well, that's
down.
Well, that's where I was when I was like, was it 18 or 19? I was trying to remember. But, you know, for all their success... You know, now for Portland, it's been 40 plus years, but they've won 2 titles in 38 years. You know, as far as the franchises go, it's not like the Celtics have been lighting the world on fire for the last 40 years.
That is true. That is true. But the city of Boston.
Yeah, those douchers.
We'll have another parade. So Jason Tatum, I always like to watch the celebrations. I think it's fun to, you know, see reactions and raw moments and like to catch athletes crying.
Raw moments, or in this case, what I believe to be fake raw moments?
Manufactured moments?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think of Jason Tatum. Like, I didn't know much about him other than him as a player. Mm-hmm. And then I think you can tell a lot about a person when they win something this big. You know, like Bryson's having his moment in golf, and Tatum certainly had his moment last night. And it's kind of interesting to see these guys in those raw moments. And it's a lot of times you get superstars are born out of moments like this. Like people really like.
Yeah.
They just relate to a guy and find out more about him. And then all of a sudden stories are written on him and he's getting all these endorsement deals and he's everywhere because he won a title. And everybody likes him now.
Yeah.
Tatum, I was wondering if that would happen with him, but after watching all that celebration last night, he is a cheeseball. Like, he is corny as hell, dude. And I don't really understand what he was trying to do, but we've got some audio, and you can decide for yourself.
Yeah.
So every single thing he said was a ripoff of someone else.
Yeah, it was just preordained. You know, he was doing bits like he had, it smacked of Alex Rodriguez trying very hard to be spontaneous. There's nothing worse than someone pretending to be spontaneous and just failing miserably.
It's like the thought out touchdown celebrations. Yes. It used to be awesome when we thought it was kind of off the cuff, and then you realize guys are planning this weeks in advance, and you're like, dude, what is this? This isn't natural.
It's a little weird.
So do you remember Kevin Garnett?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yep.
Boston Celtic legend who did this after they won the title in 08.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
And if you don't know, and I've got a buddy of mine who works at Adidas who was in charge of that campaign. They built an entire campaign around Kevin Garnett, and it was
impossible is nothing.
And that was the whole thing.
Not
you
to
have,
him.
You have one thing to say.
The moment he said it, I'm like, he botched his own like apparel tagline.
And the best is when my buddy called him out on it. I can't say what Garnett's response was. Garnett had a very inappropriate thing that he would say when, you know, when it just is like a jab at someone. That was his response when he's like, seriously, dude, like nationally, you had one chance. Garnett was like, you know, blanket, you know, boop.
All right. So here's Garnett again.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible.
And here's Tatum.
It's a surreal feeling. We did it. We did it! Oh my God, we did it!
It's just, I don't know. Maybe you should give him the benefit of the doubt and it's not that bad, but God, it feels awkward.
It's like he thinks it would be cool for someone else to place those side by side and say, look at how he did it just like that other guy. And that's kind of lame.
So do you remember Corey Seager?
Yes.
Texas Ranger just won the
World Series champ.
I just got one thing to say. You know, everybody was wondering what would happen if the Rangers didn't win the World Series. I guess we'll never know.
That was at the team parade or whatever.
Get ready to hear this.
I know everybody will wonder what would happen if we didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
Delivery just,
and that was Tatum last night.
It's like Steven Seagal
say
in a movie.
One original
like,
thing.
Just, and can we not be so wooden?
Wasn't there more? Didn't he have a couple of other things that he was?
So well, not so much what he was saying, but like he posed with the trophy like Kobe did. Yeah. He posed pouring champagne on himself like Chris Bosh did. Yeah. So it's like he's getting all the, he's copying the visual imagery as well as the sound bites.
Look,
so performative. It's just weird. Why do you think that is?
I just think I think for a lot of people, the spotlight is uncomfortable, which is also why I don't think you hear a lot from Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But Jason Tatum's good. Like, whether he's a top five guy, he's a first team all NBA guy, but there's guys that seek that out. Like when Cam Newton comes into the NFL and says, I'm here to build a brand. You know, there are guys that absolutely seek that out. Shaq never met a camera that he didn't like, right? Like all of those things. Kobe loved playing up the Mamba mentality. God, he'd get all aroused doing that. It was like his thing. And Tatum's not one of those guys, but you get to this moment and you got some sponsors in your ear and you just finally got over the hump and someone's going to finally start giving you your credit. And it's like, hey, this is my moment. And if you're not comfortable in that spotlight, you don't automatically get comfortable. And I think you see a guy there who is, again, trying to be spontaneous, trying not to be awkward. It's that guy on a date that's like, don't be awkward, don't be awkward, don't be awkward. And then like the first thing out of his mouth is the most cringe thing. It reminds me of that. And I even like the posing with the trophy. Like I've never been in that situation, but how do you act when you know that there's a million cameras on you?
Well, I think you've already overthought it.
Yeah,
you just won the title.
But that's the thing. I think there's a lot of people that just, well, you said, obviously, be yourself. That doesn't work.
That's I mean, it's clear that Tatum is uncomfortable, and he had to come up with a bunch of bits, and he felt like that was the right thing to do. The better thing to do, even if you are uncomfortable, is just be like Jokic.
Yeah.
Remember Jokic last year? He's like, whatever. Yeah, when's my flight?
I have to get back to my horses. What are we doing?
Horses do go to. Yeah, it's great. But like I said, I think a lot of people are just uncomfortable in their skin. Like, the easiest thing you can tell anyone is be yourself, and yet very few people can. You know who I think does a good job of that? And again, he's not an exciting guy. I don't think his interviews were like mind blowing. Jason, for God's sakes, Jaylen Brown. You know, Jaylen Brown had a couple curse words in there, and again,
seems pretty genuine.
He's not a big bombastic personality, but I thought when you saw Brown, you know, I thought that was him. So, Derek White, on the other hand, has a great personality, and he was out there talking about the chipped teeth and all that, and he's
so
got a
why
bigger...
were those guys not trying so hard then? I mean, you know, like it's just when so you're... Tatum is just that he's either that insecure or he really. And I really think this happens in sports. We think these guys care way more about titles than they do. But some of them.
It's possible.
And I think especially in basketball, the sport lends itself to an individual nature, right? I mean, Jason Tatum has probably always been good at basketball.
Yes.
And he's been so good at it that it became his life, his career. That doesn't necessarily mean he's always dreamed of winning titles.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I looked up. I found the Mel Tucker thing. You know, he's not anywhere, and he's fighting. He's owed $80 million by Michigan State, and he's going to sue over that. And he did win a court battle. Brenda Tracy's lawyers are arguing that the text messages between her and her friend that Tucker and messages between her and Tucker, you know, he says that prove that it was a consensual relationship. Tracy sued to have those locked. She said it would cause irreparable harm to her foundation, and a judge tossed it. So those text messages are going to come out. So this Mel Tucker thing is not over. Like, I know Brenda Tracy has a great name and a great reputation. Dude, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that disagree with some of that, and I'm going to be really interested to see what happens when Mel Tucker's lawsuit comes to fruition.
Brutal!
Whoops.
It's the greatest in the world! We have done it!
Misfire. That was Blazers fan reaction from 77.
Super duper.
Didn't mean to.
Wonderful.
That.
Just marvelous.
Yeah, well, all right. I still think she did Michigan State a favor because Mel Tucker wasn't.
Well, unfortunately, this sounds really bad. I think Michigan State fired him because they didn't want him as their head coach, not because of anything that happened.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
but they were able to do it with cause.
We'll see. So. You don't walk away from $80 million without a fight. So,
all right. Well, Boston wins.
Yeah, Boston. The Celtics are the balls.
Yeah,
and they really are. They
whatever. Yeah, they're great.
It's a dominant run.
Yeah,
there's no way to.
They were the best team in the regular season.
Yeah.
They proved that they were the best team overall. They cruised through the playoffs. They did not get many of the best teams, but that doesn't matter. A playoff run is a playoff run. They're awesome. I love the way they play. No ego. They share the ball. Well coached. Team first. They defend. That's the way basketball should be played. All of that said, they're boring, and so were the playoffs.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I can see that. And I think collectively,
didn't love it.
Most of the media feel that way as well. It's weird because Boston and New York, LA, you know, Chicago, these major markets, even Golden State, right? Those are always big deals. And I think collectively everyone just shrugged their shoulders and was like, eh, and they've moved on to free agency. I've seen as much national free agency stuff and the draft, which by the way, the draft this year isn't that exciting nationally because there's not a lot of big prospects. I've never seen someone turn the page so quickly on a major market championship. You're acting as if, like, this is like the Charlotte Hornets winning an NBA title. It's weird.
There was a lot of coverage, I thought, this morning that I thought was overdone because it was Boston.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, you know, like ESPN, all these entities are back east. And so I felt like they were crowning them as if you know, they're making a lot out of the 18th title thing, which sure. I get. And it was a little, I thought it was actually a little much. And I thought to myself, they would never cover a West Coast. If the Blazers didn't have a true superstar mm-hmm. like the Celtics and they won the title, they would not be covered the way Boston is being covered right now. I just think back East and the Celtics, it's a bigger market, bigger deal.
Well, it is 18. It's a
storied franchise.
It is breaking the record for most NBA championships.
Yeah,
ever.
So I mean, I view it a little differently. I don't think a lot of people turn the page. I think we're just bloviating about Boston, and rightly so. That's they're awesome. I just feel like one of the things that took away from the playoff run and just the championship is just the lack of superstars. I think it's why it's why Dallas was always the focus, because mm-hmm. they're the ones that have the controversial superstars. That's more interesting. There's more meat on that bone. There's more to sink your teeth into than Boston is like, they're just functional.
Mm-hmm.
They play well together. They're well built. Nobody bitch it. Like there's nothing to say. They were really good.
Nice. All right. Thanks to the ball.
So that's why I think in the playoffs, you mentioned the Warriors, you know, certainly the old, LeBron's championship. You need the superstars.
Yeah.
And that's not to take anything away from Boston, but I think it would just be more exciting for the sports world in general. It's more exciting when the superstars are there. It's like, it's no different than the U.S. Open with Rory and Bryson.
Yeah.
That's bigger and more talked about because it's those two and not Patrick Cantlay and Brian Harman.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, so and that's why I think it takes a little bit away from Boston, but.
See, and I think it takes a lot away from Boston.
Like, it doesn't bother
I just
me.
Haven't seen, I mean, I guess I have read one or two things about, you know, is, you know, where does this team rank, you know, all time and
dynasty,
you know, dynasty and this and that, but.
Bro.
Largely, I didn't see it that way. Maybe we're just consuming different things. I just didn't. I didn't feel that there was a ton of buzz. I didn't feel like a lot of people were really into this. It just kind of landed with a thud. I know a lot of people that didn't even watch the fourth quarter. They were like, ah, yeah, man, I was checking in and it was a blowout. And I tuned back in a little bit and saw the championship and moved on. It was almost like this. I don't know, like a. It was a foregone conclusion, and it felt like it was a foregone conclusion for most of the year. And to me, it's the opposite, that if you have a team that won 64 games in a major market and ran roughshod, lost what, 3 games in the NBA playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, right? 3? I don't know, man. To me, I just think it would be treated differently. Or if Tatum or Brown or someone was really like a giant superstar. So again, it's just, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder. To me, I look at Boston and I say, I don't know why that team isn't. Like, everyone always claims that they don't want selfish basketball and we don't want star-driven ball. And yet, when you get a team like this, no one really embraces it. Like, I thought the Golden State Warriors before Durant were a really, really likable team.
The Spurs were pretty
boring. The Spurs were boring. People hated watching San Antonio. Yep. And Boston, and you look at the way it was constructed, right, with drafts and then, you know, shrewd moves and tough decisions and bringing in, you know, quality second and third tier guys. You know, when you look at the way that was assembled and being a very good team, but not getting over the hump, and then having Brad Stevens be able to tweak that and say, look, we're going to move out a defensive player of the year, arguably the most popular player in Boston, giving Tatum and Brown that many years when you that is, and I know it's different, but that's like some CJ and Dame stuff where after 6-7 years of something failing, and you know, a lot of times someone just says, no, we're breaking this thing up, and they never wavered there in Boston. So many talking heads were calling for Brown to be shipped out of town and that there was two Robins and no Batman. I hate to defend Boston, but I just think I have a lot of respect for him. And I don't think that people are giving them necessarily their just due. I think it's a lot of, well, you know, it was fine.
So we've got some audio of Jason Tatum.
He's corny as all get out.
Jason Tatum from last night. Very performative. I compare him a little bit to LeBron James, you know, LeBron James.
Everything is done knowing that the camera's on you.
Well, I honestly, and we'll play the audio. If you didn't hear Tatum, I love watching celebrations. Sports celebrations, whoever wins, I don't care what sport.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
A lot of confetti last night.
And I just.
They blew the confetti budget.
I like to see what guys, you know, say, how they're going to react. I mean, it's a very raw, emotional moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I seriously don't think some of these guys know how to feel when they win titles.
Yeah.
I really don't. And then what they do is they display behavior that they think we want to see or is acceptable when winning, yeah. or it's for social media, like
yeah.
Bryson,
yeah.
you know, but it's not genuine. And that was Jason Tatum last night.
It seemed very
hokey. I was
hokey.
Really taken aback by how awkward that felt with him.
The whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah, all
felt,
of it.
Felt desperate to be compared to other legends.
Yeah, it's
it was
just
very weird.
Weird. So we'll get to some of that audio coming up next on The Fan. All right, Celtics win. Another title for Boston, which is insane how many titles they have over the last 20 years.
It's been 6 long years since Boston celebrated a championship.
That's true. The last one was the Red Sox in 2018.
Felt so bad for that city. Although Boston, you know, this is their 19th, right? 19th yeah, NBA record, or was it 18?
18.
NBA record.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, how much they've been cramming that
well, that's
down
where I was when I was like, was it 18 or 19? I was trying to remember. But, you know, for all their success, you know, two titles. Now, for Portland, it's been 40-plus years, but they've won 2 titles in 38 years. You know, as far as the franchises go, it's not like the Celtics have been lighting the world on fire for the last 40 years.
That is true. That is true. But the city of Boston.
Yeah, those douchers.
We'll have another parade. So Jason Tatum, I always like to watch the celebrations. I think it's fun to, you know, see reactions
yeah.
and raw moments and like to catch athletes crying.
Raw moments, or in this case, what I believe to be fake raw moments?
Manufactured moments.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think of Jason Tatum. Like, I didn't know much about him other than him as a player. Mm-hmm. And then I think you can tell a lot about a person when they win something this big, you know, yeah. like Bryson's having his moment in golf, and Tatum certainly had his moment last night. And it's kind of interesting to see these guys in those raw moments. And it's a lot of times you get superstars are born out of moments like this. Like people really like,
yeah.
They just relate to a guy and find out more about him, and then all of a sudden stories are written on him, and he's getting all these endorsement deals, and he's everywhere because he won a title, and everybody likes him now.
Yeah.
Tatum, I was wondering if that would happen with him, but after watching all that celebration last night, he is a cheeseball. Like, he is corny as hell, dude. And I don't really understand what he was trying to do, but we've got some audio, and you can decide for yourself.
Yeah.
So every single thing he said was a ripoff of someone else.
Yeah, it was just preordained. You know, he was doing bits like it smacked of Alex Rodriguez trying very hard to be spontaneous. There's nothing worse than someone pretending to be yeah. spontaneous and failing miserably.
It's like the thought out touchdown celebrations. Yes. It used to be awesome when we thought it was kind of off the cuff, and then you realize guys are planning this weeks in advance, and you're like, dude, what is this? This isn't natural.
It's a little weird.
So do you remember Kevin Garnett?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yep.
Boston Celtic legend who did this after they won the title in 08.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
And if you don't know, and I've got a buddy of mine who works at Adidas who was in charge of that campaign. They built an entire campaign around Kevin Garnett. And it was
impossible is nothing.
And that was the whole thing.
Not
you
to him.
You have one thing to say.
The moment he said it, I'm like, he botched his own like apparel tagline.
And the best is when my buddy called him out on it. I can't say what Garnett's response was. Garnett had a very inappropriate thing that he would say when, you know, it just is like a jab at someone. That was his response when he's like, seriously, dude. Like, nationally, you had one chance. Garnett was like, you know, blanket. You know, boop.
All right, so here's Garnett again.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
And here's Tatum.
It's a surreal feeling. We did it. We did it! Oh, my God, we did it.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe he's... Maybe you should give him the benefit of the doubt, and it's not that bad, but God, it feels awkward.
It's like he thinks it would be cool for someone else to place those side by side and say, look at how he did it just like that other guy. And that's kind of lame.
So do you remember Corey Seager?
Yes.
Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Just won the World Series
champ.
I just got one thing to say, you know, everybody was wondering what would happen if the Rangers didn't win the World Series. I guess we'll never know.
That was at the team parade or whatever.
Get ready to hear this.
I know everybody will wonder what would happen if we didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
Delivery just
and that was Tatum last
it's
night.
Like Steven Seagal
say
in a movie.
One original like, thing.
Just and can we not be so wooden?
Wasn't there more? Didn't he have a couple of other things that he was?
So well, not so much what he was saying, but like he posed with the trophy like Kobe did. Yeah. He posed pouring champagne on himself like Chris Bosh did. Yeah. So it's like he's getting all the he's copying the visual imagery as well as the sound bites.
Look.
So performative. It's just weird. Why do you think that is?
I just think it's, I think for a lot of people, the spotlight is uncomfortable, which is also why I don't think you hear a lot from Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But Jason Tatum's good. Like, whether he's a top five guy, he's a first team all NBA guy, but there's guys that seek that out. Like when Cam Newton comes into the NFL and says, I'm here to build a brand. You know, there are guys that absolutely seek that out. Shaq never met a camera that he didn't like, right? Like all of those things. Kobe loved playing up the Mamba mentality. God, he just, he, you know, he'd get all aroused doing that. It was like his thing. And Tatum's not one of those guys, but you get to this moment and you got some sponsors in your ear and you just finally got over the hump and someone's going to finally start giving you your credit. And it's like, hey, this is my moment. And if you're not comfortable in that spotlight, you don't automatically get comfortable. And I think you see a guy there who is, again, trying to be spontaneous, trying not to be awkward. It's that guy on a date that's like, don't be awkward, don't be awkward, don't be awkward. And then, like, the first thing out of his mouth is the most cringe thing. It just, it reminds me of that. And I even like the posing with the trophy. Like, I've never been in that situation, but how do you act when you know that there's a million cameras on you?
Well, I think you've already overthought it.
Yeah.
You just won the title.
But that's the thing. I think there's a lot of people that just, well, you said obviously. Be yourself. That doesn't,
obviously,
that doesn't work.
That's, yeah. I mean, it's clear that Tatum is uncomfortable and yes. He had to come up with a bunch of bits and he felt like that was the right thing to do. The better thing to do, even if you are uncomfortable, is just be like Jokic.
Yeah.
Remember Jokic last year? He's like, whatever. Yeah, when's my flight?
The parade's when? I had to get back to my horses. What are we doing?
Yeah. It's great. But like I said, I think a lot of people are just uncomfortable in their skin. Like the easiest thing you can tell anyone is be yourself. And yet very few people can. You know who I think does a good job of that? And again, he's not an exciting guy. I don't think his interviews were like mind-blowing. Jason, for God's sakes, Jaylen Brown, you know, Jaylen Brown had a couple curse words in there. And
he
again,
seems pretty genuine.
He's not a big bombastic personality, but I thought when you saw Brown, you know, I thought that was him. So, Derek White, on the other hand, has a great personality. And he was out there talking about the chipped teeth and all that. And he's
so why were those guys not trying so hard then? I mean, you know, like, it's just, when so Tatum is just that, he's either that insecure or he really... And I really think this happens in sports. We think these guys care way more about titles than they do. But some of them.
It's possible.
And I think especially in basketball, the sport lends itself to an individual nature, right? I mean, Jason Tatum has probably always been good at basketball.
Yes.
And he's been so good at it that it became his life, his career. That doesn't necessarily mean he's always dreamed of winning titles. You know, I mean, he got paid. Not everybody has the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods killer instinct. And I think what happens, particularly in today's day and age with social media, and they know everybody's watching them and all that, and they're very conscious of that. Guys like Tatum who don't, like, I don't know how much that meant to him last night. I'm sure it was great. It's quite a journey. But it's not like Jordan who gave so much that he just slumps over crying.
Yeah.
Because he didn't lose, right? Yeah. Some of those guys, it means more to them that they didn't lose than they won.
Landing is
that's how competitive
that.
They are.
Yeah.
And that is visceral. That is natural. That is like, wow, I want to see those guys in the moment. And we assume that all of these guys that win these titles, because it's so hard to do what they're doing, we assume that they all have that, and they just don't.
Nah.
And I don't think Tatum has it.
Yeah. It's
and I think that showed with his contrived, corny celebration. I think it was more of a like a, hey, here's what I think you want to see out of me. Yeah. So I'm going to give you what you what I think you want to see out of me, rather than just show you that, where's my kid? Let's get out of here.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think you have a lot of truth in there. And it's interesting that, like, Vancouver 4 text line, we're getting the, on one hand, he's the NBA version of Dangerous, which is, I think that's pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I think Russell Wilson suffers from that more than anyone else. And yeah. Then one weird stance to take, they didn't celebrate good.
Broncos orange, let's ride.
It's not, well, I guess it kind of is.
It was weird. It felt strange. It felt unauthentic. And
yeah.
And that's what I'm
contrived
saying.
Contrived.
Yeah. We all can smell authentic. You can. Like, you know it when you see it. Like you said, the Jordan thing, the outpouring of emotion, the crying in the shower with the trophy. And at the same time, Jokic. That's beyond authentic. I don't care. I've got horses. And then when you see Tatum's, it just, what do they say? The truth sounds different. And that's the same thing with genuine emotion. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think there were a lot of people watching that last night, you and me both in this camp, that it just felt weird.
I also feel like it's kind of a reflection of how the media covers the NBA right now. It was all, everyone is like comparing him to former stars. Is he the greatest Celtic since Garnett? How much is he like Kobe? Does he have that mentality? Like, those are the things we talk about in basketball media, and it's like he's trying to feed it back to the cycle. Yeah. It's really odd.
But that's the real bitch of the situation. Like, you fight all this time to get your kudos. Right, you fight through all this adversity, you get there, you have a dominant run, you win the title, and yet it's still like people are like,
don't care about that.
Still don't really like you.
It's like when restaurants sing happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Says someone on the text.
That's another good one. Yeah, it's not.
Right. Like, it doesn't feel authentic. You don't even know me.
You don't wish me a happy birthday.
You and your flair having to stop what you're doing and go sing happy birthday to me.
I'm sure you don't want me to have a bad birthday, but does it really matter to you that I'm having a happy birthday?
Tatum. Yeah. All right, well, the Celtics.
I'm happy that they got one, though. I am.
Oh, yeah. I could care less.
I think this is a good team.
They're fun
together
to watch.
And they play the right way. And I would have hated to have seen, had they lost that, just the crap that would have come their way. And I'm glad that those two guys and the rest of the team, I'm glad they got one.
The Celtics Twitter kept receipts. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Celtics win. Another title for Boston, which is insane how many titles they have over the last 20 years.
It's been 6 long years since Boston celebrated a championship.
That's true. The last one was the Red Sox in 2018.
Felt so bad for that city. Although Boston, you know, this is their 19th, right? 19th? Yeah, NBA record, or was it 18?
18.
18. NBA record.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, how much they've been cramming that down.
Well, that's where I was when I was like, was it 18 or 19? I was trying to remember. But, you know, for all their success, you know, now for Portland, it's been 40 plus years, but they've won 2 titles in 38 years. You know, as far as the franchises go, it's not like the Celtics have been lighting the world on fire for the last 40 years.
That is true. That is true. But the city of Boston.
Yeah, those douchers.
We'll have another parade. So Jason Tatum, I always like to watch the celebrations. I think it's fun to, you know, see reactions and raw moments, and like to catch athletes crying.
Raw moments, or in this case, what I believe to be fake raw moments?
Manufactured moments?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think of Jason Tatum. Like, I didn't know much about him other than him as a player. Mm-hmm. And then I think you can tell a lot about a person when they win something this big, you know, like Bryson's having his moment in golf, and Tatum certainly had his moment last night. And it's kind of interesting to see these guys in those raw moments. And it's a lot of times you get superstars are born out of moments like this. Like, people really like they just relate to a guy and find out more about him, and then all of a sudden stories are written on him, and he's getting all these endorsement deals, and he's everywhere because he won a title, and everybody likes him now.
Yeah.
Tatum, I was wondering if that would happen with him, but after watching all that celebration last night, he is a cheese ball. Like, he is corny as hell, dude. And I don't really understand what he was trying to do, but we've got some audio, and you can decide for yourself.
Yeah.
So every single thing he said was a ripoff of someone else.
Yeah, it was just preordained. You know, he was doing bits like it smacked of Alex Rodriguez trying very hard to be spontaneous. There's nothing worse than someone pretending to be spontaneous and just failing miserably.
It's like the thought out touchdown celebrations. Yes. It used to be awesome when we thought it was kind of off the cuff, and then you realize guys are planning this weeks in advance, and you're like, dude, what is this? This isn't natural.
It's a little weird.
So do you remember Kevin Garnett?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yep.
Boston Celtic legend who did this after they won the title in 08.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
And if you don't know, and I've got a buddy of mine who works at Adidas who was in charge of that campaign. They built an entire campaign around Kevin Garnett. And it was
impossible. Is nothing.
And that was the whole thing.
Not
you
to
have,
him.
You have one thing to say.
The moment he said it, I'm like, he botched his own like apparel tagline.
And the best is when my buddy called him out on it. I can't say what Garnett's response was. Garnett had a very inappropriate thing that he would say when it just is like a jab at someone. That was his response when he's like, seriously, dude. Like, nationally, you had one chance. Garnett was like, blanket. boop.
All right, so here's Garnett again.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
And here's Tatum.
It's a surreal feeling. We did it.
We did it! Oh, my God, we did it.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe he's... Maybe you should give him the benefit of the doubt and it's not that bad, but God, it feels awkward.
It's like he thinks it would be cool for someone else to place those side by side and say, look at how he did it just like that other guy. And that's kind of lame.
So do you remember Corey Seager?
Yes.
Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Just won the World Series
champ.
I just got one thing to say. You know, everybody was wondering what would happen if the Rangers didn't win the World Series. I guess we'll never know.
That was at the team. Mm-hmm. Parade or whatever.
Get ready to hear this.
I know everybody will wonder what would happen if we didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
Even his delivery just...
And that was Tatum last
night.
It's
like Steven Seagal in a movie.
Say one original thing.
And can we not be so wooden?
Wasn't there more? Didn't he have a couple of other things that he was...
So, not so much what he was saying, but like he posed with the trophy like Kobe did. Yeah. He posed pouring champagne on himself like Chris Bosh did. Yeah. So it's like he's getting all the... He's copying the visual imagery as well as the sound bites.
Look.
So performative. It's just weird. Why do you think that is?
I just think it's... I think for a lot of people, the spotlight is uncomfortable, which is also why I don't think you hear a lot from Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But Jason Tatum's good. Like, whether he's a top five guy, he's a first team all NBA guy, but there's guys that seek that out. Like, when Cam Newton comes into the NFL and says, I'm here to build a brand, you know, there are guys that absolutely seek that out. Shaq never met a camera that he didn't like, right? Like, all of those things. Kobe loved playing up the Mamba mentality. God, he'd get all aroused doing that. It was like his thing. And Tatum's not one of those guys, but you get to this moment and you got some sponsors in your ear and you just finally got over the hump and someone's going to finally start giving you your credit. And it's like, hey, this is my moment. And if you're not comfortable in that spotlight, you don't automatically get comfortable. And I think you see a guy there who is, again, trying to be spontaneous, trying not to be awkward. It's that guy on a date that's like, don't be awkward, don't be awkward, don't be awkward. And then, like, the first thing out of his mouth is the most cringe thing. It reminds me of that. And I even like the posing with the trophy. Like, I've never been in that situation, but how do you act when you know that there's a million cameras on you.
Well, I think you've already overthought it.
Yeah.
You just won the title.
But that's the thing. I think there's a lot of people be yourself. That doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that Tatum is uncomfortable and he had to come up with a bunch of bits and he felt like that was the right thing to do. The better thing to do, even if you are uncomfortable, is just be like Jokic.
Yeah.
Remember Jokic last year? He's like, whatever. Yeah, when's my flight?
The parade's when? I had to get back to my horses.
It's great. But like I said, I think a lot of people are just uncomfortable in their skin. Like, The easiest thing you can tell anyone is be yourself, and yet very few people can. You know who I think does a good job of that? And again, he's not an exciting guy. I don't think his interviews were like mind blowing. Jason, for God's sakes, Jaylen Brown. You know, Jaylen Brown had a couple curse words in there, and
he
again,
seems pretty genuine.
He's not a big bombastic personality, but I thought when you saw Brown, you know, I thought that was him. So, Derek White, on the other hand, has a great personality, and he was out there talking about the chipped teeth and all that, and he's
so
got a
why
bigger...
were those guys not trying so hard then? I mean, you know, like it's just when so you're... Tatum is just that he's either that insecure or he really. And I really think this happens in sports. We think these guys care way more about titles than they do. But some of them.
It's possible.
And I think especially in basketball, the sport lends itself to an individual nature, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Tatum has probably always been good at basketball.
Yes.
And he's been so good at it that it became his life, his career. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean he's always dreamed of winning titles. You know, I mean, he got paid. Not everybody has the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods killer instinct. And I think what happens, particularly in today's day and age with social media, and they know everybody's watching them and all that, and they're very conscious of that. Guys like Tatum who don't, like, I don't know how much that meant to him last night. I'm sure it was great. It's quite a journey. But it's not like Jordan who gave so much that he just slumps over crying.
Yeah.
Because he didn't lose, right? Yeah. Some of those guys, it means more to them that they didn't lose than they won.
Landing.
That's how competitive they are.
Yeah.
And that is visceral. That is natural. That is like, wow, I want to see those guys in the moment. And we assume that all of these guys that win these titles, because it's so hard to do what they're doing, we assume that they all have that, and they just don't.
Nah.
And I don't think Tatum has it.
Yeah. And
I think that showed with his contrived, corny celebration. I think it was more of a like a, hey, here's what I think you want to see out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you what you what I think you want to see out of me, rather than just show you that. Where's my kid? Let's get out of here.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think you have a lot of truth in there. And it's interesting that the Vancouver 4 text line, we're getting the, on one hand, he's the NBA version of Dangerous, which is, I think that's pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty
good. I think Russell Wilson suffers from that more than anyone else. And the one weird stance to take, they didn't celebrate good.
Broncos orange, let's ride.
It's not, well, I guess it kind of is.
It was weird. It felt strange. It felt unauthentic. And and that's what I'm
contrived
saying.
Contrived.
Yeah. We all can smell authentic. You can. Like, you know it when you see it. Like you said, the Jordan thing, the outpouring of emotion, the crying in the shower with the trophy. And at the same time, Jokic. That's beyond authentic. I don't care. I've got horses. And then when you see Tatum's, it just, what do they say? The truth sounds different. And it's the same thing with genuine emotion. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think there were a lot of people watching that last night, you and me both in this camp, that it just felt weird.
I also feel like it's kind of a reflection of how the media covers the NBA right now. Everyone is like comparing him to former stars. Is he the greatest Celtic since Garnett? How much is he like Kobe? Does he have that mentality? Like, those are the things we talk about in basketball media, and it's like he's trying to feed it back to the cycle. It's really odd.
But that's the real bitch of the situation. Like, you fight all this time to get your kudos. Right, you fight through all this adversity, you get there, you have a dominant run, you win the title, and yet it's still like people are like,
don't care about that.
Still don't really like you.
It's like when restaurants sing happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
says not, someone on the text.
That's another good one. Yeah, it's not.
Right. Like, it doesn't feel authentic. You don't even know me.
You don't wish me a happy birthday.
You and your flair having to stop what you're doing and go sing happy birthday to me.
I'm sure you don't want me to have a bad birthday, but does it really matter to you that I'm having a happy birthday?
Tatum. Yeah. All right, well, the Celtics.
I'm happy that they got one, though. I am.
Oh, yeah. I could care less.
I think this is a good team.
They're fun
together
to watch.
And they play the right way. And I would have hated to have seen, had they lost that, just the crap that would have come their way. And I'm glad that those two guys and the rest of the team, I'm glad they got one.
The Celtics Twitter kept receipts. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.